Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bubble Boy in the studio. Also via the web, we have Jerry the Diver Guy and Vinny Two Tanks hanging out with us. If that weren't enough, it never is. We got Casey finally on the phone. We went old school. We tried to connect via the web the last hour. No such luck. So we had to go back to the plain old telephone. And that's what we will do to accommodate our buddy Casey from back in the day. Casey, how are you, man? Yeah,
good, Greg. How you been?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So, you know, I wanted to talk to you about some lionfish stuff you did, but I got to ask you about a life hack, because I have a feeling if anybody knows this type of an answer to this type of question, you do. And that would be how to keep the diver stink out of your car, because, you know, I'm in the process of possibly getting a new ride. And as a diver, and I'm guessing you can relate to this, Casey.
Yeah.
Every time we are divers, when we get a new vehicle, that comes into play. Like, how's this thing going to store my dive gear? How am I going to get it in there? How am I going to travel from one dive site to the other without making my car smell like a moldy wetsuit goo? And what do you suggest?
There's actually a couple things you can do.
Yeah? What's that?
One is you can go to some of these auto parts stores and get a big vinyl liner for your trunk.
Ah, okay, yeah.
It's like a I don't know, 1.5, 2 foot high on the sides, and it has the plastic bottom. And that will contain all of that
funk,
diver moisture in one area, and won't let it get down into the carpet and things.
Got it. That also doubles if you were to store a dead body in your trunk. This would come in handy as well.
Yeah, they're great for wrapping dead bodies,
okay.
But you got to make sure the area where you put the duct tape is dry, otherwise it won't stick.
Okay. A little more information than we expected, but that's okay. That's all right. Well, I figured if anybody knew, you would. And you know,
it's from wrapping tuna.
It's from what?
Wrapping tuna.
Yeah, that you used
big
to do
fish.
That as well. See, Casey's done everything. That's why I figured if anybody would know, have some ideas, that definitely would be one. I've picked up a big, a big black bin that I picked up at Home Depot. I don't even know what department I got this thing out of, but it was probably about, I'd say, 7 inches deep and about 3 feet across. Thereabouts. And it was
sounds
used,
like it's for mixing concrete.
Right, exactly.
Make somebody wear some shoes?
Well, maybe. You could double as that as well. And
I'm your friend. I'm your buddy.
That's right. Or you could just set it in the back of your car and use it as a liner type of thing, for sure. So that's one suggestion. As far as the type of car, obviously divers prefer trucks. That's the easiest thing, because that way you keep the gear outside to a certain extent and outside of the cabin. My first dive vehicle, my wife made me get a truck, which I wanted one. So it worked out pretty good in that regard. But, there are times when you might want more of like an SUV type of vehicle to store your stuff, and you have to keep take some consideration in how to keep that funky smell out of your vehicle. And
well,
using
when
a banner liner.
The Crazy Dog van, it was a matter of hosing it out and using lots of baking soda.
Okay, baking soda and a little bit of water.
A little bit of water grease
will work. Okay, all right, well, there you go. Man, take it for what it's worth. We'll ask Jerry and Vinny Two Tanks if they have a few life hacks in that regard as well, or diver hacks, I guess. in this regard. But let's talk about you and some of the stuff you've been up to. You were down in the Florida Keys last week for a Lionfish Derby to benefit Reef. They got Reef Fest going on this weekend. We're going to check in with our buddy Neil Watson and the Scuba Cowboy who are down there for a big shindig tonight. But last week was the Lionfish Derby where you tried to score prizes for the most, the biggest, the ugliest lionfish you could catch. Am I right there, Casey?
Yep, up to, I think it was right around $3,000 in prizes. It was a pretty good payoff.
Cool. So what did you go for, the biggest or the most or a little bit of everything or what?
Well, knowing me, Greg, I went for everything.
Right.
What I ended up with was a dry bag and a new pole spear.
Okay, well, at least you're equipped for the next one. So you didn't see any lionfish down there, sir, for real? Really?
Well, actually, one of the teams that won brought in almost 154 lionfish. That was first place.
Right. I
but
saw some of the videos.
But they were one of the dive shops, and they're very good folks down there. And they were diving anywhere around 90 to 120 feet, they said.
Yeah. And you know, that is the key with the lionfish. If you go to a popular site, especially down in the Florida Keys, the divers have been pretty good at keeping them at bay on the popular reefs. But as soon
I'll tell you what, we did, we focused our areas because we were in a small boat, you know, my little boat.
Mm-hmm.
We focused in the areas around 50, 60 feet, and I, for commending the park, I saw some beautiful patch reefs. We had a little nurse shark following us around. I saw angelfish and queen angels, and they're keeping a lot of the shallow reefs very clear, and it's showing. It's showing. The fish population looks really, really strong.
Yeah, but you see these videos of the lionfish literally schooling deeper depths or places where they're less visited by divers that are, taking the opportunity to take them out. And it's scary when you look at some of the video. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, where did all these lionfish come from?
Well, that's what the team said that was diving. They said they literally got down there, and it just looked like a blanket of them.
Yeah.
So far over this little piece of I don't know if it was shipwreck or something, but they were all congested right around that. Now, I did personally 100% better than last year. Last year I got blew out, and this year I got one lionfish, so I'm 100% better.
Well, okay. There you go.
But,
I like the percentages as a way to grade your performance. That's a good way to do it, for sure.
But so we were 10th place. That's not bad.
Yeah. Well, hey, it could have been worse. But you had some lionfish. They made some lionfish ceviche for everybody, I believe.
One guy had a grill off to the side. He was just throwing some Obe on it and grilling it up, and they were good.
Yeah,
good to eat.
They really are good to eat. They are excellent.
They really are. They're nice, solid white sweet meat fish, and they're great.
They're excellent complement to lobster. During lobster season, you get a lionfish lobster meal in you. Oh my God, you'll be
there. You go
living large, big time. And of course,
I think all divers should be shooting them instead of hogfish. That's what I think.
Well, of course, I agree with that 110%. And actually, they're probably easier to even catch or spear than lionfish. Hogfish.
I saw a lot of them wearing a little placard around their neck that said, "Shoot me, please."
Yeah. I mean, hogfish. Yeah. Are known to be pretty stupid and are excellent candidates for spear fishermen, and they're very tasty fish too. But I gotta say, lionfish, because they don't have any predators, they just sit there, and you can literally go up there with your pole spear.
And if you sit there long, they'll literally turn to you and go, "Put the spear here."
Right.
Yeah. Good.
I'll slow down. I'll they'll sit there and. Pause for a photo op, and then they'll line up so you can just spear them right in the head and take them, and it's just weird. But it's because they have no predators; they're not afraid of nothing, and you really don't have to do it. Now, once you spear one, and if you miss it, if you're that slow to react, there's a small learning curve on spearing lionfish. I'd say it takes maybe two or three tries, maybe. Before you kind of get the idea of like, okay, I need to put it here, and if he does swim, I'm still going to get him,
and you're not shooting from very far away, so pretty much you can pick it up 1-2 shots, you're
in. Yeah, but if you miss one, they have a tendency to get a little antsy and might, you know, swim away a little bit more. But even then, they still seem to be kind of slow swimming, and you could get another shot at one or two.
Yeah, they'll swim away to where they think they're not going to be bothered again, which might be a foot,
right.
2 foot.
Exactly.
And then they stop and go, okay, I'm fine here. And
yeah, I'll just hang here, and then you can go and give it another go. But some of them, are getting really, really big when you use, you know, it's crazy how big some of these lionfish can get.
The biggest one we had from Key Largo Pentacamp was almost just shy of 2 pounds.
Wow, that's a big-ass fish
there. That's big for a lionfish.
Yeah.
Now, the smallest one that they brought up, the same team brought it up, it fit inside of a bottle cap.
Well, there you go. So the smallest, the biggest lionfish for the Lionfish Derby to benefit Reef. All right, we got more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
So, you don't think sharks are sexy, do you?
No. Wait a minute. What was the Little Mermaid?
Ooh, baby. I'm going down. I'm going down. 'Cause you ain't around. Baby, my whole world's upside down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, so I am also a lobster diver. I mean, I like lionfish, of course, but I love lobster diving. And, you know, Florida spiny lobster season is in full effect right now. However, a week from today, October 3rd, I believe, is when lobster season opens up out there on the left coast. And, you know, we've joked around on the air before, being that we're based in Orlando, we're Florida divers, that lobster diving in Florida is much different in as compared to the lobster divers in California. In that the water's cooler and in California, therefore the lobsters are slower and easier to catch. That's what the Florida divers like to dock or like to say when they're talking smack to the California divers. And John Hott from OTS is on Scuba Radio right now and maybe can back this up or put this rumor or myth, this slander to rest once and for all. John, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you, buddy?
Well, Greg, I'm doing well.
All right, so you have dove in Florida for lobster and for California for lobster. You've done them both, right?
Yes, I have. I used to live in Marathon. I used to dive master down there.
Okay,
many years ago.
You're a bi-coastal lobster hunter. I love it. So you can.
I say that.
So is it true? Are they slower out there in California and easier to catch? Kind of thing compared to these Florida. Yeah, are we gonna talk up the Florida divers? Make us feel better about ourselves today, John, or not?
Well, I won't make you feel better. I don't think it's different out here. The lobsters in Florida. You know, you can catch them during the day. You can catch them during the night. Out here, it's a little tougher to catch them during the day.
Yeah.
We normally go night diving for them. Although, if we're out day diving, we don't ignore them, and often we'll take our bags.
Right.
It's a little harder to catch them out here from the standpoint that you can't use any tools.
Right.
There's no snares, no tickle sticks, no nets. You have to use your hands and your hands only.
It is quite shocking that in California, out there on the left coast, that you can't use a tickler. It's just shocking. Most people would think that would be more of a liberal slant towards catching lobster, but no such luck. You can't use anything out there other than your hands to catch a lobster.
Yeah, gloved hands. About the only thing legal to use is a set of gloves. So,
yeah.
You can't tickle them out. So that's why we normally hunt for them at night, because they're out roaming around. During the day, they're usually holed up. You can find some places where there's ledges and other, rocks and reefs that you can sort of get into, and find them. But they often have back doors. They're not stupid out here. They always leave themselves a route, or usually will leave themselves a route of escape out into a deep hole.
Yeah.
And during the day, you can see them. Usually you're looking at antenna up in a hole, though, and you just can't get them out that way.
Yeah, well, it'd be similar to what we'd see in Florida, but, in our case, right. we could tickle them out from under a ledge or a hole, but
exactly.
You can't do that in California. So
you can't do that here.
What is the theory behind that? Why don't they let you guys do that out there? Because there's not as many lobster, or they just feel that's more environmentally sensitive, or do you know? What do you think?
Well, I don't know if it's. I think it's probably just a method of take that they kind of restrict the way you do it. You can use hoop nets out here. There's no. I don't think I've ever seen anybody bully netting like they did down, or like you can down in Florida, where you go out at night into the sand patches. I don't think anybody's done that out here. I've never seen it, whether it's legal or not.
Yeah.
But
when
you
say
hoop nets and stuff.
So
it's just a matter of method of take.
Okay.
They've restricted it to be a little more sportsmanlike, I guess.
All right. But you're saying they can do hoop nets, which basically you'd go out at night in a sand flat off the coast of California, and you would scoop them up from the surface? Is that what you mean?
Well, no. A hoop net is it's a trap. You drop it down with some bait in the middle of it, and the net itself collapses. And then when lobsters come in on the bait. And then when you go to raise your net up, you pull it up as fast as you reasonably can, and with held within the net are the lobsters.
I see.
And,
okay,
it's fairly successful. You can string out a bunch of hoop nets, and you don't have to be a lobster diver to catch lobsters out here. In fact, it's getting kind of difficult. It can be kind of difficult in some places where the divers will somewhat compete with the prime areas, and there'll be a bunch of hoop nets there.
Yeah.
And we try to stay away from each other, and be as courteous as you can.
Sure.
But
you pretty much got to go at night, because that's the only time when the lobsters are out walking, just like they would be in Florida. And that's the only opportunity you're really going to have to grab them by hand.
Right.
Now, you have some really awesome videos on YouTube. I don't know. Can we give that out to everybody?
Sure.
What is it?
On my YouTube channel, just search my name, John Hott, H-O-T-T, and you'll see a lot of weird stuff pops up on YouTube when you type in my last name.
I've
had to live with for a long time. But if you search that, you can go to my YouTube channel, and there's one called Catching a Limit and another one called Season Opener. 2014 or something like that. 2014 season opener, I think I labeled it.
Yeah.
And those are all shot with GoPro cameras mounted to our masks. You'll hear the audio We can put audio to our cameras now, so you hear our discussion underwater as we're using comms. And
yeah.
That's what I do for a living.
Absolutely.
Yeah, underwater communications and full face masks. So it's kind of neat to be able to combine the sport and work.
Absolutely. Just do a search for John Hott without the tech gold stick. Because if you add the tickle stick to the search, that'll pull up those other videos he was referring to. But you don't want to do that. But OTS, you guys do amazing underwater comm communication equipment. I mean, it's featured in all the TV shows we're watching these days.
Yeah.
Bering Sea Gold and God knows what else is out there.
Well, Shark Week is a big, I guess, a big commercial for us. We're all over Shark Week, and like you said, Bering Sea Gold and History Channel. There's a lot of new stuff coming out that our equipment is just really featured well on. But it's a lot of fun. You know, we all dive comms and full face masks when we're out diving. We can, you know, if somebody gets on them and they're at a certain depth, we can call in and say, you know, and tell everybody, you know, hey, we're here at, I'm finding bugs between 15 and 30 feet, or if you're finding them shallow, you can report to the others, or if you need help, I think it was Lobster Season Opener. You can see where Ryan and I are collaborating on him catching a big bug.
That was a monster, man. I was watching the video going, oh, my gosh, who has hold of who here? Because the video, you just see these giant lobster arms surrounding Ryan in this video and all this silt flying all over the place. Because
It took probably better than 2 minutes to bag that bug. And it basically grabbed onto everything he owned. It had his octopus. It had his backup light. It had the bottom of the bag you're trying to stuff it in the top of. And it was kind of interesting. That it's not normally that way. It's just that bug sort of, I wouldn't say got away from him, but
he just decided. You think you're catching me? No, I think I'm catching you. That's how it happens out there on the left coast sometimes. All right, more coming up.
Scuba Radio.
You really ought to go check out that video of John and the OTS crew catching lobsters out there in California. I mean, the full face mask, and they're talking to each other like, hey, Ryan, get over here behind this hole here and help me bag this bug. And then when they catch that big monster one, I want to say it was like 11, 12 pounder. The thing was massive. And I've had the dreams of catching a lobster like that, you know, just for my own personal experience. But when they get that big, you don't really want to keep them because those are breeders, as they say, and populate all the other lobsters because, you know, they're the big lobster on the reef. So you want to give them some time to get their freak on and just catch them, get a picture and put them back in the water or, get some measurements on them, that kind of thing. They say they're tough and stuff, but I don't know. It would be kind of, you'd be tempted to want to eat it. I mean, I might be a little bit conflicted. I don't know. But it looks like a blast. It looks like it's just as much fun in California as it is in Florida when you're catching or hunting for lobsters. And I don't know. Vinny Two Tanks, are you a lobster diver? Have you done that out there where you live? Because you're out there on the left coast, too. You think? No? Yeah? Maybe? Or maybe not. I'm not getting them right now.
No, I'm here. I just had my. I've gone many times. Yeah.
Have you ever caught one that big? Like that?
Butch has, and I have a photograph to prove it.
That's right. He was telling me about that when we were out there in Long Beach. He was
he's got a huge one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you didn't just say he's got a used one, a huge one.
My.
I think he did, but we'll let that one go.
No.
But regardless, you know, you got to catch him by hand. So is it a little trickier, you think, or you just kind of, you know, develop a quick hand technique to grab them lobsters? Because it seemed like John and Ryan, who are featured on that video from OTS, and once again, if you Google or YouTube John Hott Lobster, it'll pull up these videos. They definitely had zeroed in on a quick hand technique. You have that technique too, Vinny?
Yeah, basically, maybe. You see him, you swim for him, you grab him as fast as you can.
All right, you don't give him time to think or to swim away. Yeah, it sounded like, you know, once you saw him, they zoomed in real quick. And you can see that on the video. More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
It's a symbiotic relationship. I'm a mighty great white shark lemon, and you are a remora clinging to me with your suction cup head. I give you a free ride, and in exchange, you eat my parasites.
Baby, there's a shark in the water. There's something underneath my head. Oh, please believe I said, baby, there's a shark in the water. I caught them barking at the moon. Better be soon.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I got to give a little shout out to this surfer in Hawaii this week that was bitten by a tiger shark. I don't know if you've seen the footage on the news, but I got to say, I was impressed. For once, we actually saw one of these shark attack victims. This happens very rarely, where they actually came out immediately in defense of the shark. And he basically said, look, you know, yeah, it ripped my leg open. My buddy saved my life, but I don't blame the shark at all. I was diving, or I was surfing in murky water. It was dark. I was in his domain, and I'll be out there tomorrow, or as soon as they give me a green light to go out to do some more surfing. I just won't do it at that particular time. I made the mistake, not the shark. It was just mistaken identity. And that was refreshing to see on the news and have somebody step up like that, because generally it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I bunched him in the nose, and it was a monster, and he was going to take my arm off, and blah, 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 and you know. Yeah, and it was actually quite refreshing to hear one of these surfers actually step up and take responsibility for, hey, look, I was just doing what I love. And it happens to be in the shark's, you know, world. And if I get bit, I get bit. That's just part of the hazards of doing what I love to do. And don't blame the shark. They don't need any blame or, you know, retribution or, you know, people need to go out and want to kill them and stuff. So that was good to see. Did you see that bubble boy or no?
Paid for by the International Shark Lobby.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right. So we got that. By the way, coming up, we're going to check in with the Dive God and possibly the Scuba Cowboy, who are getting ready for a big Reef Fest event down in the Florida Keys to benefit reef.org, which is a very fine organization that sponsors fish counts and helps monitor, you know, the populations of fish around the world with these projects that they do. They also are the organizers of many lionfish derbies around the country and around the world to try to keep those critters at bay. Laddie and the crew from Reef are a fine, fine organization, and they have a big shindig going on down there in the Keys this weekend that we'll get a report from momentarily. But before we do, let me go. I want to go back and talk more about this lobster stuff, because, you know, I got taken to task a couple weeks ago about cold water diving. Some listeners like, hey, you don't ever talk about cold water diving. Here we are talking about lobster diving in California. So there, take that! And Vinny Two Tanks, you know, and his buddy Butch, when I was out there in Long Beach, said that, you know, they do this. And Vinny just said, you've done this many times. Do you go out all the time, Vinny, or is this kind of a rarity for you to go out and do some California lobster diving? What do you think?
No, when the season hits, like, we're going to be in Turks and Caicos.
Right.
But when we get, but we already have, Butch and I have already got two tanks ready to go, and we get back, we're going to go.
Are you going to just go right off the beach someplace in California?
Remember the breakwater wall right off Long Beach? Remember that wall?
Right.
They're all over that wall.
Okay, so you just go out there somewhere and
yeah,
go
just drop anchor.
Mm-hmm. Catch your lobster. Yeah. 7 lobster a day is what I've been told is the limit for California. And it opens on October 3rd this year. So it actually, the day we board the Turks and Caicos boat there is when lobster season starts in California. So do you have to be out there, though, at the beginning of the season to limit out? And I assume You guys have the same issues we have in Florida where you can't catch sharks. Obviously, the length of the carapace, you have to measure them just like we do in Florida. I think it's a 3 inches and a quarter is what I've been told for California divers, where it's 3 inches in Florida. So they have to be slightly bigger in California to make them legal. And then I assume you're not supposed to catch lobsters with eggs on them and that kind of thing. Do you have to watch out for that too, Vinny, or what? What do you think? Do you know? What? Did we lose Vinny again? I guess we lost him.
No, I just had my thing on mute. I forgot it was on mute.
No worries.
I don't think you have to, I don't think it's a lot to throw back the females, but we do because we know that they, you know, we throw them back.
Yeah. Well, in Florida, you have to. You're not allowed to keep any female egg-bearing lobsters. So, I don't know. I would think that'd be the same for California, but
probably. Yeah. I can't remember.
Right, right. But they can get, what's the biggest lobster you've caught? Have you caught a big monster one like John was talking about, like a 10, 11 pounder?
No, I just got some that are legal. I never got a really big one yet.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it's just you got to be in the right place, right time. What about you, Jerry the Diver Guy? You've never been out even in that cold water of California to do any diving, have you?
I can't get out of Florida.
You can't get Florida is enough for you. Well, I mean, you're in the mountains of Virginia, so, I mean, just to come to Florida is a challenge. Getting out on, you know, out to California would be a bit more. But it's not the cold water that's keeping you away. It's just the distance. Am I right?
Just the distance.
Yeah. I mean, how does that sound? Would you want to catch a lobster out there? I mean, that would be enough for me to want to, you know, definitely withstand the issues of the colder water. I mean, and plus, you know, when you're lobster and you got to have these thick gloves on anyway, putting on a thick wetsuit or even a dry suit isn't going to be that much more of a challenge. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sitting here watching this video.
You're watching the lobster video.
This thing's a monster.
It is. That one they're wrestling, you really don't ever see the lobster hardly at all. You just see a bunch of silt and you know, it looks like a scene from a horror movie. Because it's just like, you just see the legs wrapped around his buddy Ryan, and they're just going at it. It's pretty comical. So you're enjoying that as we speak. That's more entertaining than talking to me, I'm sure. Right?
Well, you know, it's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, okay, of course. Yeah.
I'm enjoying both. But
right, fair enough.
As far as the cold water goes, I'm used to cold water, just as long as it ain't too cold.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it.
Well, you know, when you're lobster diving too, you know, it takes your mind off any kind of potential cold water issues you may have, and you may not have any. You know, the thing is, with like a 5 or 7 mil wetsuit, I'd wear a heated rash guard if it was in the 60s. That's what I would do, and I'd be fine. I've done that before, and then I'd be good to go. You know, you got to do these night dives. For the lobsters in California, too, though. And that would be kind of that's kind of fun, but I don't know. I mean, Vinny, when you go out and lobster dive in California, is it always at night, or are you guys going out during the daytime sometime as well? I would imagine you have to go at night, don't you, generally?
You have to go at night. You see them during the daytime, but they can see you, too, and they also have they can feel your vibrations, and You go near them, and they're gone quickly. You have to do it at night.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, they got to be out and walking about.
Blinded by the light.
Blinded by the light, and they pick up on your good vibrations. You know, it's a whole California thing. You know, whatever. It sounds like a lot of fun. Bubble Boy, what do you think? Would you want to go?
Yes, I would.
You would put up with any potential warm water wash issues you would have as a Florida diver and be willing to sacrifice the shrinkage issues.
Greg, I'm the kind of guy that likes to go to the beach when it's 62 degrees and I'm out there just my trunks.
Okay. I thought there was some kind of laws.
A little
that you
too
were,
much.
Yeah. I thought there's some laws that you were supposed to.
There's trunk shrinkage.
So can you handle it with your mankini?
Can you do what?
The mankini.
The mankini. Yeah.
No,
he has
no
a mankini.
No banana hammocks.
Okay, well, that's a good thing on many, many levels. All right. Well, hey, while we go to the Turks and Caicos, do you have any plans to do some diving there, Jerry? What are you planning next?
Actually, I'll be doing classwork.
Okay, so you're doing some more teaching. Open water divers, is that the deal?
Yeah, we're going to do classroom stuff. I think we're going to try to get some guys ready for a Florida trip down to the springs and do some checkouts.
Okay. And well, like the springs, what, Jenny Springs?
Yeah, Jenny, you know, maybe Blue Grotto, Devil's Den maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, More than likely, it'll be Genie Springs.
Okay, and that's from where you're at. How far is it to, you know, driving distance from the mountains of Virginia to, you know, like Devil's Den in the Ocala area of Florida?
About 12 hours.
Okay, so it's a bit of a haul. So, I mean, yeah, why wouldn't you go to, going to the Panhandle be closer or no?
That's about the same.
It's about the same for where you're at, huh? Okay.
Yep.
And then, but closer would be North Carolina, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but you just like to take them to the springs?
The water gets colder up here. I mean, you have to go out in the Gulf Stream on North Carolina, especially in the late fall, early winter. You have to go out in the Gulf Stream, and it's, you know, it's a good haul out there to even get into any warmer water. And it's usually, it's still pretty cool water when you get out, but I assume to just go to Florida.
Well, and then if you go to the springs, you don't have to worry about any potential weather issues, I guess. And if you're driving 12 hours, that kind of ensures that you're going to get your checkout dives completed as a dive instructor. Am I right?
That's right.
That's it. Okay. Well, there you go. All right. Well, cool. Hey, look, coming up, we're going to check in with the Dive God. As I said earlier, he is down there along with the Scuba Cowboy, Peter Hughes, the folks from Dive Training Magazine, a whole bunch of folks from the dive industry are participating in Reef Fest. We're going to check in with them next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Have you been putting off your next dive because you can't locate your PADI certification card? Chances are it's been a while since your last dive and you need to refresh your scuba skills. When you take the all-new PADI Reactivate course, you can do both. Designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water, PADI Reactivate will refresh the fundamental scuba skills you need to jump back in. Contact a PADI Dive Center, resort, or instructor and sign up for PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Ladies, never order a lobster on a date. The lobster is the most expensive thing on the menu, okay? So just know that if you order and consume a lobster, you have to touch your date's wiener. It's like a sexual contract from the sea.
They did the lobster dance.
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 They did the lobster, lobster, lobster dance.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master Mall with Bubble Boy. We are doing the lobster dance here in the studio, and we apologize for that visual image that will be burned into your brain forever. So let's just change subjects and go to the dive god. He'll bail us out every time, and he is on Scuba Radio via the phone from Reef Fest down in the Florida Keys. Neil, how are you, buddy?
Man, I am great. Just hanging out at Guy Harvey Outpost Islander Resort down in Island Murata, diving with my buddy Slate, and doing some evening entertainment with the Who's Who down here. I mean, Peter Hughes is down here, and Paul Heumann, and Ned DeLoach, and Marty Schneiderman.
Wow.
Scuba Cowboy is going to be playing at a function tonight. It starts around 6 o'clock, so we're having a great time. The weather's beautiful. The diving is outrageous, and it'd be perfect, except my buddy Greg getting here, man.
Yeah, well, you know, timing-wise, it's just kind of blue for us, because, you know, a week from today, we're going to be in the Turks and Caicos, so it just was kind of bad for me to get down there.
Oh,
we had talked about doing a show. Yes, exactly.
My heart.
Well, dude, I want to be there, so I'm trying to throw it back at you. Like, look, you know, I wish I could be the dive god, but I can't. But I'm going to Turks and Caicos, so I'm not, you know, it ain't half bad. But yeah.
Well, hey, I'll be in Cayman next week for the
Diving Hall of Fame.
National Scuba Diving Hall of Fame Awards. Peter's getting inducted.
Peter Hughes, yeah.
I got it last year, so I'm going to go down and make sure that I support him. It should be a blast. Also, Slate's going down for it. So, yeah, going to be fun.
Yeah, I got to talk to the folks in the Caymans about changing that around as well, because this is the second year in a row where they've scheduled it at the exact same time when we were on the on the Explorer Ventures boat. So, you know,
I mean, I can't believe
they wouldn't change their schedule.
So time.
Yeah, but how could they not change their schedule just for me? It's just so rude.
I'll support it. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll see. And then they'll tell me to take a hike accordingly. But, this event, Reef Fest, is going on this weekend to benefit Reef, and you can check them out, reef.org, and they do great work when it comes to, you know, fish counts. They're the people that came up with the idea of the Great American Fish Count, where they try to, you know, measure stocks around the world so scientists can kind of get a gauge on what's happening, you know, with the different species of fish that divers are seeing underwater, and then they can, you know, make adjustments, whether it's management or whatever. And then, of course, they're doing a lot of work with the lionfish, which has really been something they've excelled in over the last couple of years. And they had the Lionfish Derby last weekend. You guys went out on boats the last couple of days and with a bunch of the divers that were celebrating as part of the thing this weekend. What was the deal there? Were they catching lionfish the last couple of days, or just going out and... Oops, I guess he was just hanging up on us is what he was doing. We just lost Neil. We'll see if we can reconnect with the dive god. We'll see if we can make that happen. But I believe what they were trying to do was, people like Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center. And Peter Hughes was down there, and they would go out on the boat. And they would be standing by and planning on doing some diving and stuff with them and with the people that were supporting the event and doing what they could to, you know, help out and, dive with a celebrity. And I think we got Neil back on the line. Neil, you there, buddy? You with me?
I'm here. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, is that what you did? You went out on the boat with some divers that were supporting Reef Fest this weekend?
You know, there were like 10 dive shops all involved in it, and they had someone from Reef on each one of the boats and doing fish counts and just having a good time. There were functions every night, starting on Thursday, so they had parties Thursday night, Friday night. Of course, tonight is the big awards party and a dinner, doing paella and all kind of neat stuff, and the Cowboys, Scuba Cowboys, going to be playing, and it's just a great event, a lot of fun, and the weather's been absolutely beautiful. I mean, the seas are flat calm, and the water is still 85 degrees. I mean, September is the best time, my favorite time of year to dive anywhere, because, you know, it's after the season, it's slow, yet the water's the warmest and the clearest and the calmest. I mean, September... And even October rocks if you can get the time off to go diving. Anyway.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And but as far as when you guys went out diving the last couple of days, were people spearing lionfish too, or were you guys just out there doing social diving?
Not on Slate's boats.
Yeah.
But I think some of the other each one of the operations kind of had a different schedule. You know,
okay.
Some did fish scouts, some just did the wrecks and stuff. Some did lionfish hunting. So it's you know, each one of the operators kind of had their own itinerary and agenda, and they had all of that listed, so you can kind of pick, you know, which operator you want to dive with and what kind of dives you want to do.
Well, there you go. And, you know, next year we'll make a point to make sure we're down there for Reef Fest. Once again, Reef is just a fine organization, the Reef Environmental something Foundation. I'm forgetting an E.
Reef Environmental Foundation.
Yeah, Reef Environmental what? What is it?
Education Foundation.
Yes, there you go. I knew there was another E in there somewhere. Reef.org for us that can't remember the rest of it. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better. Where, Bubble Boy?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody. That's why it's hot. I'm not in water. Yeah, we in love here. Down in the water.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.